football on off the ball.
So that's also not healthy. It's great for the Premier League, but it's probably bad for the rest of the world.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Balls Football Daily.
Welcome to Tuesday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, we'll have the latest from both the Ireland men and women's camps. Bruno Fernandes turns down a move to Saudi Arabia, and could Drogheda United miss out on European competition altogether? The Ireland women's team are in Cork this evening to take on Slovenia at Páirc Uí Chaoimh. Ireland came back from 1-0 down away to Turkey on Friday to win 2-1 thanks to an own goal and a late goal from Emily Murphy, her first international goal. That result gives Ireland a chance to still finish top of Group 2 in Nations League B, but they have to better Slovenia's 4-0 win over Carlow Ward's side in February. The simplest equation for the girls in green is beat Slovenia by 4 goals or more and they'll top the group and gain promotion to League A, which guarantees a place in the 2027 World Cup qualification playoffs. Regardless of the result in Cork, though, Ireland are guaranteed second place at the very least and a promotion playoff with a League A side. Speaking to Off the Ball's Kathleen McNamee Ward says it's a crazy situation.
Yeah, look, we've looked at that. There is an argument that we would be better in B now because the next then promotion to A would definitely secure you a better qualifying pathway to the World Cup. But naturally, you can't think like that. We're ambitious. We want to win the group. But yeah, there is that argument. You're certainly, if you're, say, Wales, they're about to get relegated, it puts them probably in a strong position then to try and win the group to go into A, ready for the qualifiers. So there is that argument. It's a bonkers setup.
Ireland captain Katie McCabe is focusing on matters on the pitch and not off it.
Yeah, it's nuts. Like the setup and the goals and the points and the relegation and the promotion. As Carla said, for us, all we can concentrate on is winning games and progressing our performances game by game. So I'll let you do the maths. Yeah, all we can do is kind of focus on winning the game.
There's likely to be a few changes to the starting 11. Lucy Quinn is being monitored due to a bug. Aoife Mannion, who also started in Istanbul, remains a doubt with a minor quad issue. Mannion had to come off at half-time in that game against Turkey. Caitlin Hayes replaced her. She stepped in at centre-back alongside Jessie Stapleton, and Anna Patton shifted to right-back. Ward may stick with that setup tonight, or she could bring in Megan Campbell at left-back. Campbell's long throw could be used to push Katie McCabe further up the flank. Rouge Littlejohn, who didn't feature last time out, could return to anchor the midfield, which would free up Denise O'Sullivan and Marissa Shever to support the attack. Kira Carusa is in line to lead the attack after making a strong impact off the bench against Turkey. Emily Murphy, who scored that goal to win the game, also made a strong case for inclusion. McCabe says her side have to be better all over the pitch than they were on Friday.
I don't think it's important. Well, it is obviously important about how many goals, but if we don't score the first one, you can forget about the fourth. We just have to be fully concentrated on how we're setting up the game plan and executing it as best as possible. And yeah, for us, we know we can score goals in a lot of different ways. But like I mentioned to you on Friday evening after the game, if we want to top this group, we have to be miles better than we were on Friday night, all over the pitch.
Kick-off in Cork is 6 o'clock. You can hear match updates on tonight's Off the Ball with Kathleen McNamee from 7 o'clock. Turning attention now to the men's side, and Ireland continue preparations for Friday's friendly at home to Senegal. Everton defender Jacob Bryan had a great end to the season with his club as the Toffee said goodbye to Goodison Park by finishing 13th in the Premier League. O'Brien's Everton and Ireland teammate Seamus Coleman won't be part of this squad as the Donegal man has been ruled out due to injury. It remains to be seen just how Coleman will be part of the squad going forward. But speaking to Off the Ball's Nathan Murphy, O'Brien said Coleman is always driving standards.
Yeah, no, he's a huge part of the club at Everton and everyone knows that. He's so highly respected at the club and whatever he's going to do next year, I don't know. But, I mean, he can do what he wants, really. If he wants to be a coach or a player, he's all the ingredients to be either one he wants to be. But I think it's important that we keep him part of the club anyway, just because he's so important to the club. And he's the heart of everything, yeah.
What was he like in those couple of weeks when he was in and around as caretaker manager?
Yeah, I mean, it was only, I suppose, a week or so, but that was great. He's like that all the time, and he's always driving the standards in training. So it's no different hasn't been caretaker manager for the week. He's always the same. He's always pushing the standards, and that was great.
Ireland boss Heimir Hallgrímsson has been bullish about his team's chances of qualifying for next year's World Cup, and O'Brien shares in that confidence.
Yeah, I think we all got to be on the mindset that we're good enough to be in the World Cup. It's a different type of opposition to what we usually play, but I think it's important that we play these type of teams, different types of players, and just different opposition really, and we can go out there and know that we're more good enough to take on these types of teams.
O'Brien's fellow Cork man Kevin Kelleher is expected to complete a move to Brentford from Liverpool this week. O'Brien says the shot stopper is ready to be a Premier League number one.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't just take for me to say how good he is. I think everyone knows how good he is and what he's achieved over the last few years, and now if it goes through, it's a great move for him to become number one in the Premier League, and I think everyone knows how good he is and how high his ceiling is. He can push on, and yeah, look, I suppose a difficult one because he's number two at Liverpool, but he's obviously a really good keeper ahead of him. But yeah, he's definitely up there with the keepers in the Premier League, and I think next year he'll show that he's up there with the best, and I think he's proven that in the games that he has played for Liverpool, that he can be up there with some of the best keepers in the league.
Josh Honahan is another Rebel representative in the Ireland squad. Honahan is the only League of Ireland face in the 23-man group. Both Hallgrímsson and assistant manager John O'Shea were in the stands at Talla Stadium on Friday night to see Shamrock Rovers draw nil-all with Galway. And Honahan says that wasn't on his mind at all.
No. I've said it numerous times in the past. I treat every game the same. I didn't know the manager or John O'Shea was in the stand tonight. I just focus on, obviously, that the other last Friday on Galway. And look, like I said, look, kind of as a team, I thought, look, we kind of had an off day, and myself as an individual had an off day, but I wouldn't say that affected me at all.
As many of the League of Ireland players jetted off on their mid-season break last Saturday, Honahan was delighted to be missing out, instead getting ready for his first senior call-up.
Yeah, I was planning on going away to Malaga, to be honest, just to get a bit of sun, but I'm not complaining. I'm delighted to be here. Like I said, it's a dream come true to first of all be here, and hopefully over the next two games I make an appearance. That really would be a dream of mine, I'm definitely not complaining. I'm delighted to be here.
Rovers boss Stephen Bradley has been a leading voice for Honahan to get a call up since his impressive form in the European run last season. Honahan wants to repay his club manager's faith.
Look, like you said, I think the gaffer is very supportive of me. He's one of my biggest supporters. I think, to be honest, I do set small goals, but I wouldn't set goals, kind of massive long-term goals. I think, like I said, I just focus on one game at a time, and I think, look, if you consistently play well, just focus on one game at a time, then you'll hopefully get your awards down the line. And look, like I said, I'm just delighted to be here. Like I said, it's a dream, now that I'll be here, the aim of mine is to do well in training, and like I said, if I can make an appearance, do as well I can and stay here inevitably.
Drogheda United are in discussions with UEFA over their Conference League participation after Danish club Silkeborg, who have the same owners as the Louth club, also qualified for the third tier European competition over the weekend. Silkeborg beat Randers FC 3-1 in the Danish Superliga to secure a place in the Conference League qualifiers. Last November, the Drogs earned their spot in the qualifiers when they beat Derry City to win the FAI Cup. A month after that memorable win, the US-based Trivella Group secured a majority share of Silkeborg, and they also own English League 2 side Walsall. UEFA rules prohibit any individual or legal entity from having control or influence over more than one club in the same European competition, and control is defined as holding a majority of voting rights, having the power to appoint or remove most of the club's board, controlling voting rights through agreements with other shareholders, and exercising decisive influence over the club's decisions. If this rule is breached, the affected club's place in the competition will be given to either the next highest ranked club from the same domestic league or to a club from the highest ranked national association, depending on the situation. Silkeborg's 7th place finish in the Danish league would outweigh Drogheda's 9th place finish in last season's Premier Division.
This week on Diverted, it's the series finale, Argentina Part 2. It's been emotional, but my hitchhiking journey finally comes to an end, and I finally, kind of, come to terms with the fact that I missed out on the Buenos Aires celebrations after the 2022 World Cup.
A lot of people who I haven't seen since the World Cup would just greet you with, "We won the World Cup." Yeah. It's like, instead of hello, you go, "Hey, we won the World Cup."
We'll also be speaking to people in the Welsh regions of Patagonia.
When Welsh came into Patagonia, it was so important to them to maintain their culture, their language, their religion, and their way of living life.
And we will visit Newell's Old Boys, the club that connects both Maradona and Messi in Rosario.
Bueno, ese equipo, 74, 88, 1988, 90, 91, 92, 2004, 2003. Mm-hmm. Esas son todas las estrellas que tienen.
Diverted. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts. On Off the Ball.
Bruno Fernandes has rejected a big money move to Saudi Arabia. Al Hilal had become confident of a deal for Fernandes after positive talks over the Manchester United captain. The Saudi Arabian champions were prepared to pay £100 million in a transfer fee, and then Fernandes would get £1 million a week. The midfielder was in line to earn up to £200 million from the move. Al Hilal have been looking to take advantage of United's financial problems and wanted to wrap up a deal before the start of the Club World Cup. Talks over a transfer had accelerated when Fernandes's agent Miguel Pino held talks in Riyadh, which had led to Al Hilal believing there was a genuine possibility over a deal. But Fernandes has rejected the move to Saudi Arabia. The 30-year-old has made it clear he wants to continue playing at the top level in Europe. Fernandes now looks set to stay at United, which is a major boost to Ruben Amorim ahead of next season. Amorim could have used the incoming money to reshape his squad, but he always insisted that he wanted Fernandes to stay. Meanwhile, United are expected to open talks with Brentford over forward Brian Bomo. Amorim needs to bolster his misfiring attack. Mateus Cunha has already agreed a deal with United to move from Wolves. That'll go through once his international commitments with Brazil are over. And United feel confident in moving forward on Bomo after receiving indications they're his first choice for a move this summer. Jadon Sancho is leaving Chelsea when his contract ends at the end of June. An agreement couldn't be reached over personal terms for the winger's loan move to become a permanent one. Sancho joined from United last summer in a temporary transfer that featured an obligation to buy worth up to £25 million, but it would still require a deal between Chelsea and the player, which has failed to materialise, and that opens the door for Sancho to leave. Chelsea will have to pay United a £5 million penalty charge now, and Sancho has options in England and elsewhere around Europe, which he's expected to explore before making a decision on his next step. It looks like striker Rasmus Højlund could also be on his way out of Old Trafford this summer. It's believed the Dane is in talks with Champions League runners-up Inter with the view to a possible loan deal. And the UK government has declared it's prepared to take Roman Abramovich to court in a bid to extract the frozen £2.5 billion generated from the sale of Chelsea Football Club in May 2022. The UK government, then led by Conservative Prime Minister Boris Johnson, forced Abramovich to sell the Premier League club after Russia invaded Ukraine in February 2022. Abramovich was described by the government as a pro-Kremlin oligarch, and his assets were sanctioned. It was then announced by Abramovich via a statement on Chelsea's website on March 2nd, 2022. All net proceeds from the sale would be donated for the benefit of all victims of the war in Ukraine. The club was eventually sold to Clear Lake Capital and Todd Boehly in May 2022, but more than 3 years on from that sale, the £2.5 billion remains frozen in a UK bank linked to Abramovich, and this has now led UK Chancellor Rachel Reeves and Foreign Secretary David Lammy to say they're prepared to take Abramovich to court to retrieve those funds. That's about all we've time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan, and I'll be back with more tomorrow.